Is that coming through all right? Yeah, okay. Hopefully you'll give me a chance to finish what I'm going to say this morning before you condemn me for heresy. The promises of God are not enough on their own. The promises of God are not enough on their own. Or put another way, we need more than the promises of God. Okay? We actually need more than that. Now let me explain. Hopefully I've got your attention at this point. We've got a power station grid in this country. It generates the power. And the amount of power that's generated, you really will not comprehend. It is so great. Just a few miles... It's okay, Julie, you can put that one up, please. Yeah. Just a few miles up the road, up the A1 from us, is Ferry Bridge Power Station, yeah? It's a coal-fired power station. No, you need to go back to the first one. All right, just leave it on there. That's just a diagram of a coal-fired power station, giving you a rough idea. Over at your left, you've got the coal that gets pulverized, that gets fed into the furnace. That is burnt. It generates heat. Down at the bottom, you can see the pull from the ponds and river close to them, the water. All right. The burning coal is in the furnace. It heats the water and creates steam. Steam gets to incredible temperatures. And then that's passed through the turbines. The turbines spin at very high speed. They work through and they give us energy. Electricity out the other end. But you need another step after that. Okay, so Julie, could you put the next one on, please? You need the high tension pylons to carry the wires. Okay? The wires that are coming from the power station, you can hear them as you go underneath, the buzzing, because the electricity is at such a high voltage there. Next one, please, Julie. She's actually doing several jobs at once here. She's taking notes as well. Okay. It goes from the high tension lines. It goes down to transformers. You'll see these dotted around. Some larger than others, depending on the sort of voltage they're handling, the sort of current that they're taking. Then we go on to the next stage. And then you get the lower tension pylons. These are generally wooden ones. Lower power, or lower voltage, should I say. And that brings us then back to the next slide, the light bulb. And it's not lit. Because with all the power that's been generated in that power station, with all the carefully constructed pylons that are carrying that high tension, with all the transformers that are there converting it down to lower energy so we can use it, with the lower tension pylons, it comes to the house. And it doesn't light the bulb. The power station is inadequate. It needs more. That power station could be likened to God. He's there, he's powerful, he's able. I mean, there's no doubt that there is a plentitude of energy coming out of Ferry Bridge to light all the lights in this place. Those are lit, that isn't lit. Next slide, please, Julie. As Eileen said, you need a switch. Or, if you're more modern, this is you could get a PIR. Okay? You need another element for it to be effective. Could you go forward one? Yeah, just leave it there. You're getting too good for me. All right? You have here two different ways of connecting the power station with all the technology, paraphernalia, and the bulbs or the lights that we've got here. You either have to do something with the switch, or, and this is interesting, with the PIR, you actually have to be. Just being in the room makes a difference. And for God's promises to be effective, sometimes we have to do something. Other times we have to be something. And without that, Ferry Bridge can work morning, noon and night, and that will not light. Some of the promises of God are automatic. Genesis 8, 20-22, which is the first one that I could find that was automatic, says this. Noah built an ark to the Lord, an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelt the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." There is no condition attached to that promise. God makes a promise, and he said, it will happen. But so many of God's promises are not automatic. They need something from us. They need faith, they need action to actually bring them into being. For them to actually do something, they need us. Ferry Bridge, with all that technology, and some of it will just blow your mind when you see it and understand it, is held from lighting that by a simple little rocker switch. And we can be the inactive rocker switch. This is what it says in Hebrews 4, 1-2. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let's be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. The AV puts it like this: they didn't mix it with faith. The Message version says, we received the same promises as these people in the wilderness, but the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promise with faith. The promise was there, but the promise was inactive, incomplete, and unable to fulfill because there was no faith. We need to believe, and we need to act on promises that God gives us. James tells us again in 4:1-3, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill, you covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Pursuing the things that we want and actively trying to achieve them by natural means isn't always the right way. Sometimes we have to work with the promises of God and claim what he offers. The promise is available and they are backed up by power. But if we don't claim them, they simply lie on the shelf. A great deal of work has been done by some very dedicated people these last few weeks. Ray, Pat, James has been working as well. Yes. You keep, yes. Thank you.
Motivated.
Yeah.
Joan's been project manager and Dave's been there for every other question.
Except for what colour are we now painting this? Because apparently always gets told red.
Well, we had a banner line the other day and it was brown. It was green.
But what I wanted to say was this: the paint that they'd been using was fresh paint. You get that paint and you leave it year on year on year, it's simply laid on the shelf, it's useless. And eventually it gets to the point where it can't even be used anymore. God's promises aren't like that. If you leave them a long time and then suddenly something sparks in us, they're still fresh. They don't go off. But we're as well not to leave them on the shelf. James says you don't have because you don't ask. And sometimes we can actually literally be frightened to ask. Yeah? There's a situation, we don't even ask. As a child, were you ever frightened to ask? Perhaps at times because of situations, yeah, maybe. But generally, kids will just ask. You know, sometimes we can get so wrapped up in the theology of the thing. Does God want me to have this? Is it right for me to ask? Is it God's will that... And, you know, we can get so wrapped up in it. How many children think, well, they might not do that. They just ask. Yeah? And sometimes the answer's no. Can't we be the same with God? If he doesn't want us to have it, he's quite capable of saying no. No. Exactly. Let's be prepared to ask. James says that we don't have because we don't ask. Let's not be afraid to ask. Because our Heavenly Father wants to give. He's quite capable of looking on a situation saying, well, actually, it's best if you don't have that. So no. But let him make the decision. Don't make the decision for him. In the Gospel of Matthew, we see that Jesus seemed to have a pet name for the disciples. Do you know what that was? Little faiths. It's mainly in Matthew, we get one reference in Luke. But he says things like, oh, you little faith. Matthew 6:29-31. He's talking there about the Father looking after us. And he says this. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, will not he much more clothe you, you of little faith? That's paralleled in Luke 12:27-28. Matthew 8:23-25, when they're in the boat, it says this, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Matthew 14:25-31, it says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the water. I think that would have terrified me. It says they thought they saw a ghost coming to them. It's a ghost, they said. They cried out in fear, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it's I, don't be afraid. Peter, always there first, says, if it's you, tell me to come out. So Jesus said, come on then. He went out. We know it very well. He walked on the water. And what did he do? He looked around, saw the wind, saw the waves. He went down. Jesus went out, reached to him, held him by the hand, lifted him up and said, why did you doubt, you of little faith? Again, they were out in the boat. In Matthew 16:5-8, they went across the lake, the disciples had forgotten bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They discussed among themselves, saying, is that because we didn't bring any bread? Aware of the discussion, Jesus said, you of little faith. How many did we feed? With a few fish, a little bit of bread? You of little faith. Julie, could you click on the next slide, please? We can have the power station. We can have the pylons. We can have the transformers. We can have the low tension pylons. And what we have is a bulb that isn't lit. But when we have the faith, that switch, that PIR, we will get a lit bulb. When we energize our faith, the promises of God can suddenly become active. When we actually believe what he's told us, we can see a result. Action on our part, our faith, our belief, our trust is a switch that enables the tremendous power that is available to become active. I'm not standing here this morning as somebody who has arrived. I'm not standing here this morning as somebody who can pray for the sick and automatically see healing. I'm not somebody stood here before you this morning saying, we can do this, we can do that, we believe and it happens. I'm stood here as somebody who's on the journey, just like you are. We need to use our faith. Sometimes it's something we do. Sometimes it's just being in a situation. Joshua 1:1-3 says this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. The promise was there. But I will give you every place where you set your foot. If you don't put your foot there, you're not going to have it. The promise is there, but action is required. The promise is available with the power to back it up and bring it to fulfillment, but action on his part was required. That can take courage, and that can take boldness. And sometimes we can be literally scared to death of doing what God wants us to do. The Bible often talks about with fear and trembling. And sometimes when God speaks to us, we have the fear and the trembling. But you know, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is going ahead in spite of the fear. In Joshua 1:4-6, this is God again speaking to Joshua. He says this: your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand you against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, never forsake you, but be strong and courageous. Because Joshua would need strength and courage to actually do what God wanted him to do. He would have to get up, and he would have to place his feet and claim that ground, and then God would do it. The switch was with Joshua, and God wouldn't flick it for him. It had to be Joshua who was there to do it. We can get caught off guard, and sometimes we're not quite as fast as we need to be. Stephen and Stacey have got a house on Hope Avenue. A couple of weeks back, we were there. They got the keys. Wonderful. We were working on the back door, and the next door neighbour came round. He just said, you know, how are you doing? I'm your new neighbour. Introduce one another, etc., etc. And in no time at all, in a little conversation, he was telling us about his history. He used to be a lorry driver. Suffered with blocked arteries. Couldn't work anymore. He'd like to get back on the lorries. He'd like to work. And we said, oh, you know, really sorry about that. When he went, all of us said, we'll have to pray for him. Why weren't we quick enough to say to him as he was there, can we pray for you? Yeah? I'm always 10 seconds behind the opportunity. But sometimes that takes bravery and courage to say, let's pray for you. Have we got boldness? Have we got the courage? Have we got the faith to believe and act on the promises of God? The promises of God on their own are insufficient so many times because it requires our faith to bring them into being and to see the results that are promised achieved. Jesus told his disciples, you only have to have faith as big as a mustard seed. And as he talked to them, called them the little faith, so you can't believe for much. He said, you don't actually need an awful lot of faith. You just need to believe it. A modern day example, or something similar to that, is a song that's been released by Tim Hughes. He didn't say faith as large as a mustard seed. He says, a pocketful. How much can you fit in your pocket? If the fashion trousers, the answer is not much. Yeah? But that's all you need. Just a tiny bit. To activate the promises of God.